The scripture this morning from the Old Testament comes from Psalm 26. This is a psalm of David. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, O Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. But I lead a blameless life, redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground, in the great assembly I will praise the Lord. The New Testament reading comes from Philippians 2, 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Gospel of Luke, starting in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to study your word. Help us open our hearts. In the words of David, I ask that my words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. For you are my rock and my redeemer. We ask these in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
So I started getting ready to do my message this week, and I got reading the lectionary, and there's several of them. And one of them pointed me out to this Psalms 26. When I first looked at it, I'm thinking, and I read that, I'm thinking, wow, wait, David's writing here. What did he say right at the beginning again? He said, "Vindicate me, O Lord." Wait a minute. Vindicate me. What's he talking about? He said, "Because I've led a blameless life." Who's he kidding? Isn't the same guy who went to bed with Bathsheba and had her husband killed? I'm thinking, I've led a blameless life. And then I got to thinking about the parable that we just read this morning, about the parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Maybe God's directed me to look at that. So that's where I went. And the more I thought about it, I got reading about this parable, and I thought, well, then I got reading the Pharisee's prayer, and I think, how many of you remember, Bonnie didn't remember this, Calvin and Hobbes. Anybody remember Calvin and Hobbes? You know who Calvin and Hobbes were? So Calvin was this cartoon character. Bill Matherson had this cartoon character who used to be in the newspapers. Of course, we got the newspaper for years when I was a kid and later as an adult. The only thing I ever read was the comics. That's where I got my education. Anyway, Calvin's he's complaining to Hobbes. And Hobbes is kind of a fictionary teddy bear or whatever he was actually supposed to be. But it was another side of him. And so he's complaining to Hobbes. And he said, "People are so self-centered anymore." You know, he says, "People should stop thinking of themselves and focus on others." Well, Hobbes is there and he kind of rolls his eyes, you know. He's thinking, look who's talking. And he says, Hobbes comes out out loud. He says, you're probably absolutely right. And Calvin looks at him. He says, yeah, other people should focus on me. But he was really right. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we really do find this Pharisee that we love to despise. I mean, we actually do. I mean, you think about it. So if this guy, I bet his alarm clock, his telephone, when they would ring, they didn't ring. They applauded. Yay for me. It's time to get up. You know, he'd go in the bathroom, you know. Had a mirror on the ceiling so he could see himself when he gargled. And I mean, that's the kind of guy we think about him being. You know, his the best person he knew was his wife's husband. You know, we could be a billionaire if we could sell this guy for what we thought of him, as opposed to what he thought of himself. I mean, you think about it, we love to despise these guys, but there's a real danger there. Because when we do that, who are we really setting up? Who are we really looking at? We're focusing on me then, aren't we? We're comparing ourselves. This Pharisee, he thought maybe God graded on a curve, so he made sure that he pointed out the worst. Wouldn't we be doing the same thing if we looked at it that way? So the more I thought about this, and I thought about how Paul looked at this whole situation about pride and thinking more of ourselves than we are, and what his thought would be about this Pharisee. And that's why he wrote Philippians. And the title, if we read the beginning of Philippians, actually this was about imitating, Paul was writing to us about imitating Christ's humility. So when I thought about this, and I got to thinking about how's all this relating to what we do in church? So how many of you this morning, after Joyce got reading our scriptures this morning, said, "Thanks be to God." How many of you said it? Come on, I want to see. That's up. Said, "Thanks be to God." You know, this is the word of the God for the people of God. Thanks be to God, right? How many of you are really thankful? Think about that. How many of you were really thankful? You said, "Thanks, God. I'm glad you gave me your word." And then you walk out the door, you leave, and you go back about your business, don't give it another thought, and then what are you saying? "Ah, thanks, but no thanks." Isn't that what really happens a lot of the times? Once we leave here, we don't think about what God had just spoke to us for the rest of the week. Or do we truly say thanks when we leave and remember what he has given to us, how he spoke to us? So when I thought about that, I'm thinking, okay, so maybe I ought to title my sermon "Thanks," but "Thanks, but no thanks." And I thought about, how did Jesus respond in this parable? Who did he give thanks to, and who did he say thanks but no thanks to? So first I looked at the Pharisee. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Pharisees were actually good guys. They were the good guys. They were the spiritual leaders of the time. The Pharisees, the whole Pharisee movement was really a good thing. Think about it. They thought that they knew the Jewish law was, so Jews actually would go to confession once a week. They had to confess their sins. And so they would fast once a week. Well, Pharisees didn't believe that was good enough. They believed they needed to respect God more, so they would do it twice a week. That was their standard. I mean, they were in charge of social reform because they were the ones that really gave the Romans opposition when it came to restricting what the Jews could do and whether they could actually have religious services. So they were actually the good guys. I mean, think about guys like Nicodemus who came to Jesus, or Joseph of Arimathea who gave up his tomb for Christ. They were Pharisees. They were good guys. So this Pharisee that Jesus is talking about, well, he's one of the ones that just kind of forgot his relationship with God. He forgot what it was all about and thought that he was better than the other guys. Isn't that what we do? Isn't sometimes we forget to imitate Christ and we let our humility is there no longer. The opposite is pride. So when Jesus is telling about this parable, Jesus is saying, so what did this guy do? He stand up and he says, "Look at me, Lord, how good I've been. Vindicate me, Lord, I've led a blameless life." Well, who's he focusing on? Is he focusing on God? Or is he focusing on himself? Imagine if Jesus were to say, "Thanks, but no thanks. Don't really want to hear what you have to say today." And then he gives us an example of a tax collector. Now, tax collectors, they were thieves and traitors. That's how the people in those days really looked at these guys. And they were, most of them, lived on what do we say, the deceitful end of the barrier. But they had a job to do. So we have to understand they were collecting taxes for Rome. And that's how Rome paid them, keep the people all oppressed. But they didn't trust them either. So what they would do, they would take the tax collectors and they'd put out these bids. He'd say, "Okay, so if you want to have a franchise as a tax collector, we're going to give it to whoever gives us the most money." And so the way they would do it, so the guys would bid out and say, "Okay, I can make sure that everybody in my town pays 25%. And Rome says, "Okay, you got the job." But they didn't put a handle on it. So the tax collector, he might go go for house and try to collect 28%. Well, whatever he made on top of it, what he got to put in his pocket. So these guys were not well liked, and he thought of as thieves and thought of as traitors to the Jewish community. So why would Jesus use this guy as an example? Because this guy, when he came into the temple, he beat on his chest, wouldn't even look to God, say, "Forgive me, for I'm a sinner." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Thanks, I will." But he put into action what he knew God believed. He knew that God wanted us to be thankful. Too many times we say thanks, but we really mean thanks, but no thanks, don't we? Because we don't put it into action when we leave here or when we go to him in prayer. So then I had another thought. I got to thinking about, how do we handle this as Christians today? How do we measure up? How do we handle what we're going to do with our lives and how we're going to act when we go home? And I got thinking about the story about a family who was leaving our neighborhood, and they decided that, okay, we're doing really well, our business is doing really good, so we're going to move out of the neighborhood. So they put out an invitation, and we're going to have a luncheon because we're going to say goodbye to our neighbors and we're going to leave. And so all the neighborhood, they shows up. And so the woman, she's a little bit snobbish. So I said, "Well, our business is going so well that we've decided to move to an upper class of people." Well, the community, most of the people, they looked up and said, "Well, we are too." And then she was really surprised at the answer. She says, "Where are you guys moving to?" He says, "We're not leaving. We're not moving anywhere." Do we do the same thing sometimes, though? When we go to God, we say, talk to God and tell him how good we've been and how everything's so fine because of what I've done. Well, we haven't done anything really, have we? It's all in him. He's the one who did it all. How do we say thanks? We have to say thanks by giving him the credit, don't we? By knowing that he's the only one who can save us, that can be with us at all times. Think about how do we measure ourselves? It's like a young man who goes in the bathroom and he's looking at himself and he's thinking, "Boy, I must be getting awful tall. I got to measure myself." So he gets a ruler out, except his ruler doesn't work anymore. He can't get it. He can't get it out. So he's looking for a yardstick. Can't find him. He says, "It's easy. I'll just make my own yardstick." You know, he makes his own yardstick. He measures himself and he comes out all excited and goes out, runs out to his mom. He says, "Mom, I'm 9 feet tall." Do we do the same thing? Is that what we see? Is that God, how God sees us? Is whatever we tell him? He knows the truth. He knows reality. He knows who's Pharisee and who's a tax collector. This week when we leave here, and even today when we celebrate at the communion table, we need to say thanks to God and remember him. Remember that it's only through him that we have any power, that we have any life whatsoever. Because if we don't do that, God's going to look at us and say, "Well, thanks for the compliment, but no thanks." Don't be the Pharisee, be the tax collector. Let's pray. Father, we thank you how you provide for each and every one of us every day and in all ways, for we know that all life comes from you. Guide us this day. Be with us, especially today when we leave here and we find a way to measure our lives. Help us to say thanks to you, and thanks but no thanks to the world around us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name.